Hi, everybody. I know it's been a hot minute since I've put out an episode. So, as always, I want to thank you for listening and riding with me through the waves. The first, which we are about to dive into, involves an intermingling discussion of coaching, both life and health and wellness, and a special upcoming project. I'm joined by Bimine, Heyku, and Anita, who are all involved in this exciting venture. And then Bimine and Heyku specifically are coaches who are here to share their thoughts with you in that regard. So to all of you, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So good to be here with all of you.
I feel the same way.
Awesome. Great. So if you will, I would like for each of you to take a moment, maybe 45 seconds to a minute, to introduce yourself to the audience. Heyku, you can kick us off. Bimine, you can follow. And then Anita, you can wrap up the introductions after telling us about you.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Kaylee. I really appreciate the invite and truly appreciative of being with beautiful Anita and Bemine. And yes, my name is Heyku Sashekhem. I am the founder of Infinity Within, which is a transformational wellness program to bring ourselves back to the awareness of self. And I say self with the capital S, as opposed to the little s. Thank you.
All right. So my name is Bimine Piaro, and thank you. Heyku, it's wonderful to be here with you as well as with all of you. I do go by she, her, hers pronouns. I am calling in today from the native territories of the Piscataway and Manahawk peoples, currently known as Germantown, Maryland. And I do identify as a third culture kid, which is like a hybrid of Nigerian and American in my case, and a lover of cats and dogs. And I am also the owner of the Wholeness Center, which does life coaching, transformational life coaching. So great to be here with you.
Hi, I'm Anita, and I'm founder of Planet Siendo, and I do graphics and oracle readings, oracle card readings. And I'm currently in the state of Georgia, enjoying this new transition.
Thank all of you for introducing yourselves. So before we dive straight into coaching and the project, I thought it would be a good idea to further get to know you all in a personal sense, which in turn I believe guides your work. So my first question is, what is your daily or life mantra?
I can jump in. So that's so interesting because I find that my daily mantra changes depending on kind of what I need to encourage myself on about that day. But I do have like kind of every year, as we'll talk about this a little bit later, but every year as part of my visioning process, I do kind of And not kind of, I do identify my mantra for the year. And I think the mantra for this year was definitely apropos for today as well. And my mantra for this year is to do everything I can wholeheartedly. That's my mantra.
Thank you.
That's actually a good question too. If I can, I would say actually two mantras. My first is just my overall philosophy about the work that I do, which is the Kemetic or Egyptian saying of man, know thyself. I definitely walk with that. That's a grounding that allows me to be again centered in my daily walk. And the other one, and I actually wear this on my wrist. I generally give out these bands, and it's an African proverb that states that everything begins and ends with me. And so, those are my two mantras, I guess I can say.
Gotcha. I like those. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I do have some that rotate depending on the circumstance, but the one that is seems most prominent is the phrase Alhamdulillah, which is an Arabic phrase commonly used by Muslims to say praise be to God, or praise be to our Creator is how I like to translate it. So many non-Muslims use it as well. But yeah, I genuinely try to praise our Creator for every circumstance, and so that's the one that's on replay in my mind or out loud.
I love that. I love both of your mantras, Heku and Anita. Just the gratitude, in constantly praising, right? Praising the creator, praising, recognizing the higher power or the universe or whatever you will, in everything. And also just that the kind of self-agency that comes to mind when I think of everything begins and ends with me.
I share.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think everyone's was great. Like, definitely beautiful, definitely intentional and purposeful. So I love what everyone had to say. So we're gonna start with another question, and we're gonna focus on Bimini for this one. So a question for you. Many people don't really know or have a sense of what life coaching is, or the benefits it may bring. So, in your opinion, how would you define, or what would you say is life coaching? What are the key components, and what benefits does it bring?
Okay, yeah, thank you. I'm happy to give that question a stab, and I appreciate the fact that you're emphasizing my opinion because I do think that there is lots of different definitions and ways to say this. But to put simply, the way I see it, life coaching is simply it's simply a space where a professional cre intentionally creates an environment for the client to feel comfortable to explore a specific challenge and identify action steps for the future during the conversation. So a life coaching conversation is fairly structured. So when you talk about components, I think one of the key characteristics of a coaching conversation is it's fairly structured, although it may not sound or feel that way for the client. But the structure allows the coach to create safety and convey non-judgment towards the client. And it also makes a difference between like having a conversation between friends, your bet with your bestie, and having a coaching conversation. And you probably notice like I keep saying client, and that again is like to emphasize the difference between like, hey, this is a coaching relationship. In this situation, I am actually setting aside me, the coach, any of my own personal either biases, thoughts, advice that I may have, and I'm intentionally setting up a space whereby the client is making decisions for themselves about themselves, and their worldview and their goals are what is being centered. They also the coach is main, I guess the another key component, I should say, is the coach's main, one of their main roles is to ask these powerful questions and make observations that the client may not see, right? When we're sometimes there are things we don't even think to ask ourselves, we wouldn't think to ask ourselves. But when we're asked, it gives us that opportunity to explore and challenge ourselves and make discoveries about ourselves. And the coach can help to highlight those discoveries and draw them to the forefront. But ultimately, from my perspective, the benefit of life coaching is that it places the client in the driver's seat of their own life, in a very conscious way. It allows them to take ownership of what is within their control and then have compassion enough to release what isn't. And then it also gives that what I like to call supportive accountability, which means that, you know, there's this space for the client to come back and constantly, what's the word? Constantly discuss, constantly review their progress towards their goals and address obstacles towards those goals without judgment. And just to have that additional focus to work towards them and accomplish what they want and celebrate their accomplishments. So that's my take on it.
Gotcha. Thank you. Now, hey, cool. From a personal chat, I learned how expensive coaching can be as you're a health and wellness coach versus a life coach. So just tell me, and that was kind of discussed in our chat earlier, but just tell me about the differences between like general life coaching and then what you do, and what benefits come from seeing a health and wellness coach.
I'll be happy to lean in on that. The first thing that comes to mind is, when you think about a coach, and I appreciate Bemine alluding to this, there are just so many different kinds of coaches that are out there. The first thing that comes to mind is when I was growing up playing, various sports, we had coaches, right? So, the coach's job and responsibility ultimately, although he or she is not playing in the game, their objective is to motivate us, right? To support us, right? To, in essence, bring out the best that we have within ourselves so that we can perform, whether it be in the game or, as I would like to say, the game of life, right? And so, I would like to first of all say I think those are definitely some of the similarities that I think about life coaching and integrative health and wellness coach, which is what I do. But specifically with health and wellness coaching, we're looking at, or I'm looking at specifically in my practice, how do I create this whole mind body wellness? Right. And so when you think about the word itself, integrate, holistic, we're looking at the whole being. Right. So, whether it's the exercise, whether we're talking about meaningful relationships, whether we're talking about fulfilling work, or even having some form of spiritual connection with ourselves. And if none of that is in balance, our objective is to find ways in which we can lean into those areas that are not balanced and begin to, chart a path whereby we can find that balance, right? And then when you think about, and when most folks think about health coach, one of the first things they think about is food. Absolutely, food is very important, but food really becomes secondary when we have those other areas balanced and in line with one another. And so, although that there are some distinct differences, I really still believe that there are definitely some similarities as well. The first thing, real quick, when I think about a life coach, and Bemine alluded to this quite well. But, let's say, for instance, and I don't know if Bemine, well, no, she doesn't deal with this, but like financial wellness, for instance, right? Life or communication skills, for instance. And when I think about a life coach, it's more focusing in on the goals of that person's profession, if I can establish it that way. But again, I think that both are needed, and I think both are actually appreciated. So yeah, I'll go ahead and end with that.
Yeah. May I also add? So I've had someone say this phrase. It's so funny because my background before, I have had many backgrounds. One of my backgrounds is public health. And there was this funny thing in public health where we said everything is public health. But there's something similar with in the life coaching field that I've heard people say. It's like, if it's coaching and it's dealing with the person, it is life coaching. If it's they're doing career coaching, it is life coaching because career is part of their life. They're doing nutrition coaching, it's life coaching because food is part of their life. So it can get pretty, I think I think maybe what I see as a distinguishing factor is usually what people choose to focus on in the content of their coaching, right? Like we have similar processes and some not so similar processes depending on like what we're focusing on. So if I'm a leadership coach, then I'm focused on like, hey, how do you lead, right? And if I'm a financial coach, then we're going to be talking very much about, you know, your finances and maybe what are some behaviors around that you might want to shift. So like, I think we change it based on what we might be focused on, but in coaching always, and this is something I did not say, but I do also agree is true, in coaching, you're helping people to gain self-awareness of themselves, right? Like, so like, what are you experiencing physically, emotionally, mentally, as relates to whatever the topic is in the moment? And also like, hey, can you start to become aware of not just your own thought patterns, your own behaviors, your own worldviews? Like, can you be aware of kind of you in that sense, and then even like consciously shift if you want to, if there's a need to, like, hey, I'm thinking and believing these things and it's not getting me to where I want to be, and this could be where I want to be in life or in general, how I want to feel or whatever else. What happens if I actually try on this other different thought? What happened if I just choose to, you know, try a different set of behaviors, or really to say, you know, I'm going to feel this way. What do I need to do to get there, kind of thing? So it's like this safe space in which you can kind of make some decisions and try them out and make another decision if you need be. So that's what I really love about coaching.
Can I talk about how it ties into what I do?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Thank you. So exactly what Remone was just saying is a space I try to hold whenever I'm doing the oracle card readings. Allow that space to whatever the cards may message that they may bring. It's to be able to have that conversation. And I feel like the reading makes it easier to have, for me at least, to have that conversation that Benbene was mentioning. And I love those conversations. But yeah, I'm very passionate about that experience. but yeah, that's how I feel like it connects.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. Cool. So something else I would like to discuss in terms of coaching, and it's kind of similar to what you are already been talking about, but how would you each describe your coaching style? And either one of you can start it off.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll go ahead and jump in. I think that's actually a great, great question. The overall objective of my coaching style is really part of really why I got into this field in the first place. And that is this term metacognition, right? How can we be aware of our awareness? How can we be aware of our thoughts? Understanding how our thoughts ultimately set the stage for really in truth how we exist and how we live our lives. And, you know, when I go back to the adage, man, know thyself, well, that's really what that's about from a philosophical perspective. How do I get to understand, you know, not only my thoughts, right, but how do I, what's going on with my body, right? What's going on with my feelings, my emotions? And then more specifically, how does all of that, you know, relate itself out into the world that I exist in? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've learned a long time ago is that once I'm able to find, I guess, groundedness or balance in my thoughts, everything else begins to fall into play. And so yeah, ultimately, you know, the more that we find awareness in how we think, how we process things, I think gives us a better map to determine where we want to go and how we're going to get there.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. What is my style? I what comes to me is that what I have heard my clients say is that they appreciate that I challenge them. And I'm hesitating to say that because that sounds like, you know, I just want to be very clear. I'm not attacking anyone, nothing like that. But it's really like inspiring or attempting to inspire. Like, I really like to explore. That's really what I'm saying. I like to explore. I really want to explore what is behind the thinking, what is behind whatever was stated. Oh, what are we feeling in this moment? But also, like, what if what you are saying is true? What if it isn't, right? Like, what if that's not the only truth? What if there was another possible truth? What would that mean? Would that be freeing? Would it not be freeing? What would it mean? So I tend to like to like ask questions that maybe challenges the client to think about a different perspective. I do notice that about myself. It's like, let's spend a lot of time exploring. And then somehow we're going to arrive at, okay, now I know what I want to do, right? Like, I learned something about myself. I learned something that I maybe didn't realize I was really thinking this whole time, or something that I didn't realize was really holding me back. But now that I realize it, here's something I can really do about it right away, right? Like, but spending that time and just kind of like thinking about the problem from all perspectives and really exploring how we feel about it, why we feel that way about it, is what I love the most in coaching. So I think that really comes out in my style.
Gotcha. Thank you. And then Anita, I know you wanted to share something as well.
I also have a style too. It seems like the work that I do in terms of oracle card reading is like a spiritual coach. And the space, the intention behind the spaces that I create or try to host is to help people trace their thoughts or conscious back to the source, and kind of helping people with their mindset as well and their intuition, and just using the cards to help kind of explore where their mind is or specific questions that they may have. And that's a little bit about my style, about kind of the tracing things back to center, whatever that means for each person that I get to do the reading with.
Gotcha. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate what everyone has said. And I really love the everything begins and ends with me. I like Bimini's desire to explore. I love that you want to guide people back to center. Like, I think a lot of great things so far have been said. So I just want to like give y'all props real quick. As I was reading about coaching, one coach mentioned that her work centered on four things. And so I'm curious, as a question, and anyone can answer and describe it anyway, what would you say, if you can, are four things that your work centers on? Don't all jump at once.
Yeah, just wanting to be very thoughtful to just narrow it down to four. I think for me, one is, everything I do in life, and that includes coaching, is really centered on creating that connection and relationship, right? Like, and that's also where the exploring comes in, right? That's getting to know the client, getting to know what their goal is, getting to know kind of what literally what words they use, what they speak. So it's like building this, creating this space of safety with another person means establishing this connection. So I so deeply value connection and intimate friendships in general in life. So I think that is something that one drew me to coaching, and is something that is an aspect of my coaching. And then another one is really believing in like the autonomy of the client, and that like the radical possibility, like really anyone can do just about most anything that they wish, if they can really get to clarity on what that is, and therefore outline for themselves how they want to get there and what that looks like. So that's another component. Okay, four. I will say, of course, this entirely depends on the client, but I have found that oftentimes with my clients, we're tend to be people who are open to kind of a more mindfulness approach, where they want to understand, like, hey, you know, I know we're talking about our thoughts right now, but I have a feeling associated with that, like on my physical body. Where is that? Can we locate it? You know, what emotion am I feeling right now as I describe this particular event or this particular thought that I may have? And also then, like, you'll hear me say a lot, putting people in the driver's seat. But a part of that too is just this idea that people can make decisions about kind of what their future is, like make that commitment and that decision, and then from then derive action steps that they can take to get there. So I don't know if that was four, but those are the thoughts that are coming to me right now.
Thank you.
Awesome. The four that actually come to mind for me is the objective is to mentor our clients on their health journey, to reach, whether it be addressing the individual, whether that's the physical aspect of what's happening with the person, the emotional effect of the person, as well as various dietary goals. And I can honestly say, you know, even within my career pursuing this, you know, having a degree in psychology, being certified as a yoga instructor, you know, becoming a certified mindfulness meditation teacher. And even now, I'm a qualified mindfulness-based stress reduction facilitator. And so, you know, whether it be, you know, creating positive thoughts, you know, working on the body, you know, creating flexibility, you know, with yoga, connecting with the body, the mind, and the spirit. And then just learning ways to, you know, deal with all of these various internal and external stressors that all of us have to deal with on a daily basis. And so when I think about holism, right, this is what it embodies for me, right? I think we have to look at all of it. And I really believe that all of it matters. And, you know, to prepare myself in such a way where I can ultimately be a steward, you know, for my communities, you know, the various clients that I serve. I want to make sure that I'm there to be the best that I can be, to be able to service them in whatever capacity that I possibly can. And then knowing that there may be some areas that I can't, right? And then having the wherewithal and being honest enough to say, well, I don't have a resource for that. And then being able to refer them to other folk, such as Bimene and Anita, that could, you know, maybe address those areas so that we can ultimately create, again, this wraparound kind of collective care if you will. And so yeah, those are the four for me. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
My components are, well, the decks, the Oracle decks, to help bring our intuition into clarity. Another component is the intuition in itself and the connection with it. And the third component is listening to help, especially in all cases, but especially when it comes to the graphics that I can provide. Listening to the client and what type of energy they want with the design of either their logo or of just whatever they're trying to market or campaign. And so listening so that I can produce what they desire. And then spirituality. There's a spirituality component that is usually, it's more of a backstage component for me, but just because not everyone uses the word spirituality. So that's why it's more of a like just for me. And then whoever wants to hop on, they can. But
And then Bimine and Haiku have already kind of answered this question, so I'm gonna like ask it directly to you, Anita. But what would you say is your why behind what you do?
my why is just because I have passions. It's a mix of many factors. It feels like my whole life led to this moment, and that's why. And then also why, just because I believe that Oracle cards can help people feel back, go back to center, or realize that they're more connected than they may realize, and more in tune with themselves than they realize. So it's because of the focus on intuition and bringing it out, learning how to listen to it, learning how to interpret it. I think when not being able to understand our intuitions very well has, or my own, has been a huge struggle, or just being silenced, whatever reason why I didn't listen to my intuition. I think that's really my why, because intuition is such a beautiful relationship to have with yourself, and it affects all areas of life.
Gotcha. Thank you. And then another question for all of you, and I'll make this one a little bit more broad. So on the rough days, what makes coaching or like oracle readings, things that you all do, what makes it worth it? Why do you continue on?
Yes, I can start. I would say a rough day in coaching world for me is like the days where you're doing the business stuff, the day where you're trying to like get the word out there. That is probably the toughest part. The best days are really just coaching. I think what makes it worthwhile to me is just in that moment of creating and holding space, meaning like deep listening to your client, hearing really what they're saying, seeing what they're saying, seeing what they're not seeing, and being able to uplift that. To me, it feels like really a spiritual and connective experience. It's so rewarding. It definitely takes energy to do, but it is definitely a deeply, deeply rewarding experience to be able to like come alongside someone and accompany them on an hour-long journey where they are truly delving deep and figuring out things for themselves and coming out the other end, with hey, here's my way forward, and feeling so much more empowered. So it's such a beautiful thing to witness. And it really is the whole reason why I keep going with coaching.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Bimini. I guess I'll start off by saying, you know, being rooted and grounded in community, the first thing that comes to mind to me is I am because we are. And because we are, therefore I am. And I say that because, you know, when I think about my community, when I think about my people, when I think about my ancestors specifically, all of the trial and tribulation that we have gone through, the fact that resilience has always been something that I like to believe is our superpower collectively as a people, I guess that is really in truth what inspires me and motivates me, knowing that it's bigger than me. It's not about me. It's not about those days that I'm tired, right? I may have had 6 or 7 clients, and then I got to go home and do paperwork. And then, you know, I got to make sure I get to the gym. And, you know, all of that inspires, motivates, encourages. And it just lets me know that, you know, I'm standing on the shoulders of those who have truly endured so much more than I have had to in my own life. And it's almost like, you know, I have 2 boys, right? When am I going to leave them once I'm dead and gone? You know, have I done everything that I could possibly do with this time that I have on this earth to prepare a way for them where they won't have to struggle as hard as I've had to struggle in this life? And so absolutely, it's just recognizing that it's just bigger than me, that there's a community, that, you know, I have my ancestors supporting me, rooting me on to keep on keeping on. And that within itself definitely is a one big motivator or inspiration for me as I continue to do this work.
Thank you.
Kent, I know, Anita, you might also want to jump in and answer this, but I just wanted to, I love Heku's answer and how it brings in the component even of coaching as activism, right? Because you're healing, you're helping to heal our world, in my opinion, one person at a time, right? You're giving one person that chance to heal, and in so doing, hopefully adding to the critical mass of healthy, healed, happy people that we need in this world to make a world that is happier and healthier for all of us to live in. That's what just came to me as I was hearing you talking about living the world to be a place where your sons can live in and not struggle as hard. It's like, yes, individual coaching is focused on the individual, but this world is made of individuals. And what if everybody in it was healthier in the way that they thought and felt and ate and related to each other and themselves, right?
Yeah, Ashe, it definitely takes a village. It takes all of us. I mean, we all have a part to play. However great or however small, my thing is get in the game. Please get in the game, because we are so needed. We are sorely needed. So yes.
That is beautiful. It is true. If we all just took the effort to heal, which I think everyone is looking for that. And is looking for love. We're all on a different timeline and things like that. And there's, of course, many factors into play, but it's true. I think a lot of us are just seeking betterment in any which way. But I guess that being said, it it really doesn't feel like there are bad days because even the bad days have a purpose. And so how could I feel like a bad day is bad if it has such purpose? So really, I just hold on tighter whenever I do feel overwhelmed or frustrated, or those feelings that may be considered bad. They never feel bad to me, not anymore. I used to, but as I have grown and evolved my mindset, I've come to be very grateful for those days because they hold so much knowledge when you accept them and just critically think about them or befriend them. So I would say that it doesn't feel like I have bad days because there's so much growth and so much beauty that happens in doing art, but also doing the readings as well as possible.
Yeah, thank you for that. I really like what you said about the bad days having a purpose too. And I think you were alluding to like how much we can learn from like bad experiences and bad days. And I agree with you. And you talked about like befriending it. And I know I was reading in terms of like anxiety, and it was like befriend it, become friends with it, like feel how you feel, process it, and then learn from it. It was like don't push it away, like don't think of it so negatively. So yeah. Just thought I'd share that because it kind of related to what you were saying. And I thought that was pretty dope. And I think like I said before, like everybody's sharing such great gems right now. And I love it. Just want to thank y'all early before we get off. Just want to thank y'all now, like, because everything is just great. So
Oh, thank you. And
thank
thank you for that share too about when you start pulling in things like anxiety, how that concept translates to. Thank you. I appreciate just how much reading and research you do, Kaylee. That's so cool.
you. Thank you. Cool. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to pause on discussing coaching and things of that matter in order to discuss the upcoming project. So, Bimini, I would love for you to kick things off and give the audience a few details about what's coming up in December.
Oh my God, yes, thank you. I am so honored and excited to have Heku and Anita here because Heku and Anita and I are collaborating for the second year in a row on bringing together a visioning retreat, a visioning and vision boarding retreat. So we do it at the end of the year, generally in December. This year it'll be December 9th, and 10th. And it's an intentional space that we're creating specifically for BIPOC, Black Indigenous people of color, to come together virtually via Zoom and reflect on their 2023 and envision their 2024, and then like put that vision literally on a vision board. We're making it virtually, but people can also make it physically if they so desire. And then we're also going to share those visions with the community that is there in the retreat, so that we can all kind of celebrate it and say, as Heku likes to say, ashe, ashe. Ashe, ashe. But I'm really excited. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to kind of get ahead of the New Year resolution rush, and really give substantial time to determining how we want our 20, what, how you want your 2024 to go, and to do so in like kind of a safe and supportive space. So I'll let Anita and Hiku jump in.
Yeah, I can say something really quick here. And really, this is in line with this overall understanding of metacognition, right? How are we able to manifest things in our lives? We know that our ancestors and different traditions and religions for thousands of years have understood the power of vibrational frequency. And it's now that quantum physics, right, is finally catching up in the sense that, you know, what we focus on becomes the reality. And so, you know, the objective here is, you know, how do we shift? How do we pivot from those self-defeating ideas, concepts, and beliefs that limit us and step into an awareness, a frequency, a vibrational frequency? Everything in this universe vibrates, every single thing. And if we're vibrating on a certain frequency, we ultimately begin to attract those things into our lives. And so, you know, I am honored to do this visioning again for the second year. I know that we have a lot to offer, to share ways in which we can truly begin to manifest our lives in the way that we want to, you know, live a life of peace, live a life of abundance, because at the end of the day, it really is a choice. It is a choice. And so, you know, I would highly encourage you all to come on out, be a part of the festivities, and I will guarantee you that you will walk away a better person as a result. That's my plug.
It is a very inspiring event on so many levels. The planning for it, and then the actual execution of it, and having everyone, the community, be together, and it's so beautiful. And yeah, it's just, they said it, please join us on December 9th.
Thank you, Anita. That's beautiful. I felt you, sister.
I felt it too, both of you. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud right now.
It's just one of those things that you generally have to be there to really feel the magic. And it's such a deep inspiration that occurs that is unexplainable, because each person experiences it differently when they're open to it.
And I love the inclusion of community, because this year has taught me a lot. But one of the things that this year has taught me is the importance of community. And I've come to see it as one of the most important, if not the most important, relationships that you can have, because you need that support. You need that inspiration. You need that togetherness. You need that connection. You need those people around you. So I love the bringing together people and the importance that you all place on community, because we're nothing without community. Like, it's sure. So important.
Absolutely. Well said.
It's so true with needing community, just because, especially, I also consider myself a hybrid person. I don't know how the words emanate you.
Third culture kid. Get on the bus. We're third culture kids.
Thank you. I definitely resonated when you said that. And I feel like that conversation of individualism that exists here I feel that impact as a third culture kid, because I grew up with community being so important, but then not really noticing that in the being in the U.S. Of course, I'm sure it depends on where I live and certain other factors, but ultimately I do feel like that individualism was really drilled into my mind in some part of my education. Coming back to community. Yes, important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. In the United States, like, it's very individualistic. Like, we do not operate as a collective, and I think that's to our detriment. I mean, you can think about so many things. They say like it takes a village to raise a child, and there were times where people would, in the neighborhood, look out for you and your family, and help you, collectively raise a child or whatever. But now everybody's like very individualistic, just looking out for themselves. They don't care about, let's say, their neighbors anymore, things like that. Like, people just, it unfortunately is just a byproduct of how we're culturally raised in the United States. So I definitely see what you're saying. Because it's something that I've recently picked up on myself. And something I wish would change.
Haley, can I speak just really quick to that? I'm currently right now working with an organization called Freedom Together, and we're teaching the very first of its kind BIPOC participants how to become mindfulness meditation teachers. But it's through the lens of how do we decolonize our thinking? How do we decolonize the way in which we think about ourselves, our relationship in this world, and ultimately get back to what you were talking about, which is community, which is collective liberation, right? Because absolutely, we tend to live very westernized in these silos, thinking that we can do it on our own. And the reality is, it's just so far from the truth. And I think what it does, this whole, and not to get too political here, but this whole divide and conquer kind of mentality has seeped into our community, seeped into our cultures. And I think that unfortunately, I don't mean to sound, bring this doom and gloom, but when you look at it, when you look at our communities, when you look at our culture, when you look at, again, our mindset, right? It's very scattered, it's very dispersed. And I think that, when you look at history collectively, it has been those communities that came together, which showed a sense of prowess and a sense of strength, And again, I can talk about that all day, but I say again, we all have a part to play in how we individually decolonize ourselves first, right? And then continue to organize with those individuals, and put ourselves in those positions where we can collectively do some work. So I just wanted to speak to that because I totally agree with you. With you and Anita, 110%, that we have so become individualized to our detriment, and I know we have to shift that, and it really requires us to step in, lean in, and like take charge. And so yes, I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. So now we're going to put a little air into the show. We will play a brief game of Family Feud. Are y'all ready? Cool. So
Is there a
rules of
prize? Is there a prize?
the prize is just, knowing in your heart that you won.
That kind of competitive? Okay.
Yes. So the rules of the game are similar to that of the show. I'll give you a topic or prompt. Everyone gets a turn to try and name answers on my list. Each person gets about 40 seconds just to add some pressure. Everybody gets two strikes. So if you name two things that aren't on my list, you're temporarily out, and then we'll move to the next person. Whoever names the most things on my list or can come up with an answer on the list during the free-for-all at the end wins the round. And we're going to do best out of three. Ready?
Okay.
All right.
Cool. So who am I going to choose to start with? We're going to
Hi.
go with Anita. All right. So here is the first question. Name eight things that can be found in the ocean.
Eight things, the ocean, starfish, Coral.
Name eight things that can be found in the ocean.
Name eight things. Did I? Okay. Is starfish an okay answer? Or is that, am I
Keep
doing it
going.
wrong?
You got 40 seconds. Starfish, keep going.
Starfish, water, coral, sand, octopus, a dolphin,
I'm gonna have to stop you because you're two strikes. You said two things that weren't on the list.
that
But
were
water, octopus, starfish, those things were on the list though. All
okay.
right. Cool. Now we're gonna move to Bimini. It's your turn.
Can I name the things you already told me are on the list?
Nope.
That's out of eight. What? Oh, man. Okay. Whew.
Right.
Well, so dolphin? Wait, was that already named?
Yep, it was.
Okay, so there you go. Whales. Let's see. Ariel? No, I'm just kidding. I'm now like, what would be on Kristen's list? Coral reef.
She already said that word.
You already said that one. Okay. Jellyfish.
Strike one.
Okay, not painful things. Got it. Scuba divers.
Strike two, you're out. Okay. And now we'll move on to Hey Coon, see how you do.
Oh my gosh, this is so tough. Are we going now?
Yep, you can start now.
Shark. Seaweed.
Strike one.
Gosh. Mermaids.
Strike two, you're out.
I called him Ariel, but yeah, we weren't thinking the
Right, so right now Anita has the most. We're gonna do a free for all. So if and this is gonna be quick, everybody can go at the same time, but one person has to name, at least one person has to name something that's on the list. And if that person names something on the list, they can take it all and win. If nobody names it, then Anita wins.
Okay.
All right, go.
Oh, on the list of the question about the ocean. Okay. I'm getting there. Okay.
Think I said trash already, right?
Oh
No.
my gosh. No, you didn't, but that's a good one.
Right, a lot of plastic, unfortunately.
Turtle, a sea turtle.
Ooh.
That is a good one.
Seals.
Jellyfish.
No.
Oh, is oysters.
Shrimp.
Nope.
No crabs.
You just said it. You took it.
That was it.
Yeah. So on the list was water, and then in general, like fish, whale, shark, the Titanic. A shell, octopus, a starfish, and a crab.
Oh, so I at least got one. I said well, right?
Yes.
Yay! Okay. Okay.
Okay, gonna move on to the next round. Just making a note that he won that round.
Yay.
Okay. So this next round, we're gonna start with Heiku since he won. The prompt is name seven jobs that are bad for someone who's accident prone.
A surgeon,
Yep.
an air traffic controller,
Okay.
jeez, got about 20 seconds. I don't know. accident prone.
Got
A,
about 15 seconds left.
yeah, surgeon. pilot?
Yep.
Oh man. No.
Fun's about to run out.
I'll stop there. I don't want to give it away. That's it. I'll take
Okay. All
it.
right. Bimini, you're up next. And you can't say the ones that he said. So, surgeon, pilot, air traffic controller out.
Okay. What about a construction worker? A weightlifter. Just thinking about, yeah, a weightlifter. It's the wrong kind of accident, but I'm like a driver.
No, that's on here.
Yeah, accident phone. In that way. Okay, that's on there. Yay. And okay, so three. Somebody that carries things. What is something that, oh, don't be a waiter or a waitress. Don't be a waiter or a waitress because you can't fall all over the place all the time. And what else?
Time's about to run out.
Don't carry babies. What is it? Don't be a nursemaid. Don't be a nursemaid. And let's see what else. Oh,
5 seconds left.
skater, dancer, skater and dancer, two different ones. break a lot of bones. Those are my last two in the 5 seconds. Skater, dancer.
Okay. All right, Anita, it is your turn. You are up next.
Do I get to also know what the list is?
Would you say?
Do I also get to know what has been said?
Yeah, so driver was on there, construction worker, surgeon, pilot, and air traffic controller.
Okay. Y'all took all the good ones.
Strategy.
A repair person, repair who repairs.
Okay.
The people who cut down trees.
About 15, 10 seconds left.
There's so many jobs out there, and I can't think of any at this moment. Oh, wait. A chef.
Seconds.
A chef. A boat person that drives, I mean, conducts.
Yeah, a sailor, maybe.
Sailor, thank
Okay. All right. So now we're going to go into our free for all, where if one person can guess something else that's on the list, they take it all, or the one who named the most will win if no one else can guess anything else on the list. All right. Go.
Police officer.
Oh yeah, firefighter.
I'm just imagining how all of these jobs
Model,
look wrong.
a runway model. No, okay. What about any kind of like sports star, whether it be basketball, soccer, football? No, okay.
Not on the list, but good guess.
On the
A
list.
stage performer.
Like a train conductor. Oh man, my mind is going blank, and I do really good when I'm looking at this on TV. It's too much pressure.
What'd
I
you
know
this is on the list, but farmers.
say? No.
Anita, what was that?
President of the United States.
I thought about that one. I was like, you probably don't want to fall if you're a president of anything, but I was just like, I probably didn't make the list. Did it make the list?
No.
Okay.
Teacher,
That's, I was going to say teacher too.
babysitter.
Oh no, teachers totally fall. I fall. I fell when I was.
You can become the end of teacher, is what you're telling us.
The whole thing. Babysitter, I agree. Like, do not be clumsy with the baby. Gosh.
A caregiver for sure, and any that's no. Well, I mean, Butterfingers is a thing. Let's see.
Someone who works at a nursing home. Yeah, that's a care. Yeah,
That's
okay.
you there.
All right, I'm ready to be put out of my misery.
Okay. So these two are kind of hard to guess. And like these answers actually come from Family Feud. So,
Okay.
but the jobs that are bad for someone's accident prone, driver, construction work, construction worker, glass maker, window washer.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
Okay.
surgeon, pilot, air traffic control, and repairman.
Oh, is
Oh,
someone said repairman? I thought somebody said repairman.
but I
Yeah,
said it.
Anita. Anita did.
Oh,
Okay.
Anita said it.
Okay, yeah.
So
Yeah,
the one who has the most is again Heyku. So he wins
yeah.
again.
Here, here,
Oh, okay. I'm gonna need to know which one's the he name.
baby.
I feel
He
like there's some
named the
favoritism.
surgeon, the pilot, and the air traffic controller.
Fine.
But what about the part of the stealing? How does that
So
work? Not, I'm not
nobody,
trying to instruct you,
nobody got the steal in because nobody named the other stuff that was on the list. No one said glass maker or window washer.
but we didn't
Okay.
say it during the time either, like during the
Yeah.
free fall.
Yeah.
Did I say? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, congratulations, Iku.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, there's one more round. Let's see if someone can take at least one of the crowns away. Okay. So this question says, what are the most stressful things for a 25-year-old? And we're back to Anita going first.
What is the
What are the most stressful things for a 25-year-old?
question? Okay, I'm ready when you are.
Go ahead.
Okay. That quarter life crisis. I still don't remember the question. For some reason, it's not sticking.
Yeah, it's what are the most stressful things for a 25-year-old?
I was 25 before. Bills,
What's that?
career choices, decisions in general. Let's see, transitions. Man, I feel like just transitions probably sums it up, but I don't know. Turning 25 in itself could be.
About 10 seconds left. Okay. We're gonna throw it to Bimine, your turn.
Let's see. First of all, what year were they born? But okay. Bills, right? Adulting, paying any kind of bills, rent, car, insurance, doctor visits, possibly parents are really stressful. Relationships, romantic relationships. I want to say like beauty stuff. So like if I have a pimple, if I'm not stressed for anyone anywhere, but like beauty stuff. I would say depending on like their like lifestyle, it could be like school related, like so like exams or yeah, during school. I would say definitely fashion, like clothes. Friendships, the opinion of friends, those kind of friendships,
5 seconds left.
friendships, clothes, mental health, honestly, I think it's a huge one. speaking of quarter life crisis, like life goals where they feel they should be, careers to be specific.
And your time is up.
Okay, I get any right?
Yeah, you got four.
That's like my most so far. Okay.
Hey, it's your turn.
All right. I'm going to say, yeah, a lot of those you guys have taken away from me. Staying alive, especially when you're thinking about like, an age group like 18 to 25, especially with Black males. I think, people like to look at their physical health with exercise. I think there's a lot of peer pressure around about that age. Some may probably start having kids too early and they realize now they have too many. I think that trying to keep up with the Joneses, other folks or their other peers.
10 seconds.
I don't know if you said like job employment,
That was six.
finding a mate, and yeah, that's all I can come up with.
Okay. So now we're about to go. Most of them are actually taken up, so there's only like one on the list that hasn't been set. So we're gonna go into a free for all, and if you can, whoever can name that one thing can take it all. Or Bimini will take it because she has the most so far.
Hey, how do I keep my crown? All right, let's do this.
All right, let's go.
Being aware of drugs.
shoes, money, if it wasn't said specifically, money.
What'd you just say?
Weight, like
Oh,
body,
no.
like how much I weigh, like I would say Instagram and Facebook are definitely stressors. Social
Trying to
media.
get a car, vehicle.
Followership, how many people they have following them.
I
having family.
Everybody's worried about
I wasn't, though. Not at 25.
Their dog, their cat, the pets.
We talked about here.
All right, we're
Drinking.
about to wrap up. 3 seconds left.
Was drinking on there? Was that it? Did I get it?
No.
Is that dogs, alcohol, drinking? Okay, no. Oh, student loans. How did I not get that one? Student loans. Is that on
You
there?
said finances. I really just took a listening on this one.
So we're out of time, and nobody guessed the last one, which means Bimini wins this round, the final round.
Okay, does that mean I just won everything because I won the final round?
No.
No, the last. Shabby. I'm just kidding. What was the
The
last thing on
answers
the list?
were love life. So Bimini, you kind of hinted at that. Jobs, Anita, you hinted at that. Anita, you were the first one to mention like finances and stuff. Heyku, you mentioned like starting a family and stuff like that. So you got that. Bimne, you mentioned school, friends, and clothes. Those were all answers. The only one that wasn't guessed was roommate issues.
I said home life. I didn't say
Friendships.
income.
Yeah, friendships is on there.
Okay, but you're saying that's still not specific enough. Oh,
Was
Anita, you were
home life
saying you said
too?
what?
Home life. But I must have said it too low.
I didn't hear you. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
nah, it's cool. The recording probably didn't catch it either. It's okay. But I said it. But it's okay.
Okay. Well, okay, so we'll do this then. Since you had Bimini had the most and you did say like home issues, we'll call it a tie and you both win the round.
It's okay. I
Okay,
think
I'll
Bimini
share.
deserved it.
I think I win just by being able to like work with Anita and Hiku, so it's okay. And to
Yeah.
be on here with you, Kristen, so I'm fine.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you all so much for being on the show with me. It's been very insightful, and I love the discussions that we've had. And I also want to thank y'all for playing the game. I think it was fun, and I hope y'all enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Had a great time. Thank you so much. Always good being with you all. Thank you.
Likewise.
Awesome.